Hey, welcome back to the United We Nerd podcast, where a couple of nerds sit around and talk about anything we want to talk about together and with you. If you're here on twitch.tv/United We Nerd, you can hang out in the chat and talk to us during the podcast live as we record it, as well as in the comments on youtube.com/@United We Nerd, or if you leave a review in the podcast realm, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We have a lot to talk about today. For those who don't know, it is EDC week here in San Francisco. But of course, that means this past Sunday was Day of the Devs, and me and Joel went to check out some really cool indie games.
Yeah, we did.
We're going to tell you all about it. But before we do that, Joel, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I just saw the Acolyte trailer. I'm hyped.
Oh,
I love
yes.
Star Wars. I'm all about Star Wars. I love it all the bad parts, all the good parts, except the Ewoks and Christmas special. But yeah, I love me some Star Wars. We talked a little bit about the Battlefront game, I think, last week. But yeah, just hyped about that. Just doing a lot of schoolwork. This Saturday at 1, I'm fighting this motherfucker in Street Fighter.
Oh,
he's been
man.
Saying, like, clickety-clack. I'm just playing. I'm like, all right, okay, one trick, Ken. Let's see it. Let's fucking go. Yeah, he has the belt, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who's the champion? Oh, that's me. And that's the World Nerdy Weight Championship right there.
It'll be me and May when I slap him in the Crucible. Anyway, that's happening Saturday at 1, some Street Fighter. Marcella will be there too. We're going to have a grand old time playing some Street Fighter. So excited for that. I've been playing Street Fighter. Posted a clip doing a counter with Zangief. It's hella fun. Love that shit.
Bro, I saw that clip and I got a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. That shit looked deadly.
Thunderstorm Man or whatever it's called. I don't know if you want to talk about it later, but Gundam Requiem, they dropped their models or the pictures of them. I don't know if we want to dive into that now, but those are the two things I'm excited for.
I have another thing I think we can talk about real quick, so let's get those out of the way and then we can get down and dirty, because we're going to be going through the games that we saw at Day of the Devs, and we're going to be showing you the actual trailers, well, without the audio, because I don't know if anything's copyrighted or not, because you know, who knows, but we're going to show you the game footage and tell you how we thought about the really cool games and the really cool devs we got to talk to. But before we do that, Joel, did you...
Brian, how are you feeling, though? Before you answer me a question, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing all right, you know? The initial springtime has kind of flown through my body, so now, like, all the sinuses and all the regulation has kind of adjusted, so now I'm feeling
nice.
A-okay. A week ago, though, right, I was going through it, but that's what I get for living on a hill surrounded by trees. So, other than that, doing real good. You mentioned the Acolyte trailer, Joel. Let's talk about that real quick.
Hell yeah!
So, for those who don't know, in June, I believe,
June.
Disney Plus is going to be releasing a new Star Wars series called the Acolyte, which is based on the High Republic era. So this is going to be the first live action anything of the High Republic era. So this is kind of like like 100, 200 years before the prequels. So this is like back when the Jedi were at like their peak. And except this series is based around the... I guess you would say the rise of the Sith, or kind of like the seeding in of like the Sith's return of some sort, I guess. I don't know. We have to find out. It's one of the shows that's been very under wraps until like just now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super excited. Looks like a lot of fun. Some cool people in it. We got like Carrie Ann Moss, Lee Jung Jae from Squid Games, Manny Jacinto. You know, Daphne Keene is in it, and she's looking like I didn't even recognize her until my wife said something. So, we got a cool cast of characters too. yeah, I'm really excited to see what is like a Sith coming into power. So it looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it's kind of a lot darker too. A lot darker than we normally get for like a live action project. And that's even like with Andor being
thank you,
thing.
Andor.
So it'd be kind of cool. It'd be something fresh for Star Wars. And I think, if given the chance, I feel like it might be a good thing. But of course, we'll probably talk a whole bunch about that closer to when it comes out and when it comes out. The other thing that I want to talk about real quick is, Joel, did you see that little developer video for Destiny 2 today?
I did not. I was at work, unfortunately, and I totally forgot about it. I was like, do we get any new cool things from Eververse? Whatever. And I went back to work. I totally forgot. I saw that, actually, that they had a video today, like, right before we started. I was like, oh, fuck. I missed it. But go ahead, Brian. Fill me in.
Well, let me get some notes here.
Nice. I know they teased in their, this week in Destiny, their TWID, or the former TWAB, that they're bringing in some cool things. They hinted at, in their picture, it's a really cool picture, like a weapon from the Kallus raid. There's something maybe from Black Armory. And finally, someone posted actually in the Discord. I did hear this. There will be a Horde mode in Destiny.
Yeah,
2,
so that's what I wanted to talk about.
Fucking finally. But I mean, a little too late, but I'll still talk about it. Yeah.
Now, Joel, you might be surprised when I say this. Watching, because they actually showed off the mode today.
Oh, nice.
This is something I think that would make it easier to get back into Destiny.
Oh, really?
Like honestly. So
that's coming from this guy. He's like hot and cold with Destiny, which I don't blame him at all.
I lightweight really love Horde modes and shooters. I think it makes it a lot of fun. Bungie's not unfamiliar with it. It was in a lot of Halo games.
ODST.
ODST. I really liked the one in Titanfall 2, which was really fun. So they showed off. Let me see. I'm trying to see what the name of the mode was called. I'm not seeing it in this article. But basically,
it's in Crucible maps, right? That's what I heard. Like, you go into a Crucible map, it's run by Shadows.
Oh, actually, it's a lot cooler. You go to the...
Whoa!
You go into the last city. So, the last city is the big map, and it's basically you are the final defense, like, between the hordes of enemies towards, like, the tower. And so, how it's kind of works is that there's three different versions. There's the, you know, the matchmaking, there's the like the private, and then there's the challenge mode.
Yeah.
And so the regular matchmaking is like 10 rounds of, you know, enemy hordes, and you go in, you take care of them, and then you collect these in-game currencies for the mode, which will then allow you to go to little nodes to unlock defenses. So like there's tripwire traps, there's turrets nice. That you can unlock, there's like doppelgangers that you can kind of use as distractions, and so basically you can keep using those to defend the line, and you have this like kind of pylon thing that you're supposed to protect, and you have to make sure it keeps being defended, and you keep doing that. And you just, the difficulty keeps getting harder and harder each round that you go. And what's cool is that Shax will be the custodian of that mode. And the whole loot grind thing for that is that he's opening up his vault for you, and you're grinding to get his weapons that he's been hiding in the vault. So basically,
Rage
like,
Lighter, let's go! Rage Lighter, finally! Let's go!
The little bit of story.
Beyond, let's go!
So the little bit of story is that he's been training us in Crucible all these years for this moment, for us to actually defend the tower, defend the city, which is really cool. The challenge mode, however, if you raise the difficulty of the challenge mode, you do 30 rounds of wave defense. And I think they set every, like, 10 rounds, like, the difficulty goes up even, like, more drastically than the regular mode does. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you get more rewards from that. But, yeah, they didn't go over a lot of the weapons. This whole video series is going to be, like, a three-week video series. And they're going to be showing off weapons next week. So, I don't know. I'd highly recommend... I think it's, like, an hour or so long. You can look it up on their YouTube channel.
I'm all in Helldivers. I don't give a shit. And now you're telling me this. I'm like, fuck, this sounds really cool. God damn
this,
it.
And this is pretty, like, Into the Light is pretty much going to be the last thing we do before
Lightfall, right?
Final Shape comes out. And I think,
or Final Shape, you know, oops, fake fan.
I think this is actually really great. We're getting a brand new game mode, which has really, looks like it has really fun mechanics. It satisfies the people who will play PvE, and also it seems like it will satisfy the people that like to play Crucible and like PvP a lot, because they said that for people that love to strategize their loadouts and, like, you know, what their weapons have, like, they will very much benefit from doing that too. So I think what Gambit was trying to be, like, the combination of PvE and PvP, I feel like mechanic-wise, this might do a little bit better.
No wonder they gave up on Gambit. Now we know.
And there's going to be enemy variety. So I think they said, confirmed right now, they have Fallen, Hive, and they tease that the Taken are around, but they're being put through the effort of going somewhere else. And
Gambit,
maybe, I don't know, but yeah, it looks really cool. One other cool thing is that there's a little bit of Battlefront supremacy in it. Because if you play the challenge mode, there is a point in time where you actually get to go up into a pyramid ship and fuck them up.
Oh, nice.
And then you come back down and you, like, continue, like, the wave defense. So it's, like, a little bit of supremacy as well. I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised with it. So I highly recommend checking out, especially if you're a lapsed Destiny 2 fan. And you're waiting for something to, like, really intrigue you. I think this might do it, honestly.
Well, I think I'm on board now. And I'm already thinking of, like, my solo loadout I use for Prophecy. Fuck. Apparently there's a challenge to do the challenge mode solo. And I don't even know what that would entail. But sounds wild.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's going to do it. But, damn it.
Last thing I was expecting today, but it happened.
Destiny needed a horde mode, like... 3 years ago, damn it. But, oh well, at least it's finally getting one.
Yeah, and it seems like with the team they have now, it seems like they have an idea of how they want to lead into the Final Shape, which is good. Like, it seems like they've been working really hard on this mode. You can tell, at least from me, you can tell that they're really enthusiastic about the horde mode and, like, how Into the Light is gonna handle. So, and there's a cool pistol in the gameplay that they didn't explain, but all I know is that it was a long pistol that had, like, void energy spewing out of, like, the tip at all times, and it looked really cool. And I want to know what it is, but they're not gonna tell us until next week.
Like, an auto pistol, kind of like Titanfall 2.
I don't know. I don't think it was an auto pistol. It looked like a regular pistol, but, like, it had, like, a void energy, like, crosshair, like, on the front of the gun.
Is it buried alive? I have that gun. We'll look it up later. It's okay. It's really cool. It's really cool either way. But
Jameson in chat says, I might have to re-download D2. It's like, oh, shit, well...
Dude, for a horde mode, I'm like, I haven't been excited about Destiny in a long fucking time. And this, oh my god, just you
mark
telling me
this
about
day,
it.
March.
Oh my god.
In March of 2024, we are excited about Destiny 2 again.
God. I mean, Lightfall, we're like, yay, but we weren't like, yeah, like Horde mode. Like, I'm with you, man. I think Horde modes are great. So, fuck. And I'm like, ugh.
And especially, it's in a place like The Last City that we don't normally get to go to that often.
That too, I heard it was in a Crucible map. Okay, fine, whatever. They're reusing assets, but the fact that we're going somewhere new with a new mode, fuck. That makes me excited. Mm-hmm. Sorry, all those people who lost their jobs.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they did say that because it's The Last City. There's side objectives that will pop up during the Horde mode. And it said that there are points where the teams will have to split up and the city is big enough where you could possibly get lost.
Nice.
So I'm
sure there'll be some fun Easter eggs for wandering around, I'm sure.
Damn. Oh, because Jameson in the chat mentioned... Overwatch, that reminded me, I saw some Overwatch news that sounded actually pretty interesting. I don't know how new this news is. It's new to me, so I'm just going to talk about it real quick. Apparently, going forward, their plan is that all the heroes in Overwatch will be free. And all the mythic skins that have been coming out for the battle passes... people are going to have the ability to go back and actually get those skins.
I'm glad. They should have done this when Overwatch 2 launched.
I think now they're also in like their new phase where now that they're under new management, they're starting to actually do increments of stuff. Yeah. And what's really actually cool is that I think they said for season 10, or beyond that, they aren't going to worry about making new maps. They're actually going to go back and retool the maps people have been complaining about for years. So, like, Dorado,
That's great news for players, though. Like, I shouldn't Overwatch a lot, but the fact that they're... All right, finally. Like, that makes me excited for them. Like, it's not making me want to go back yet, but... That's cool. Like, hey, this map is shitty. We're finally going to fix it. About time. Like, I'm happy for you guys. That's good. And the free...
Well, now they don't have a Bobby Kotick.
Yeah. I'm just wondering... fuck, I forgot about him. I purged him from my mind.
Good. You should forget about him.
How are they going to... I don't know. If they're going to get Blizzard bucks out. I'm just wondering how they're going to... Where are they going to charge now for that? But hey... That's still, I'm excited for you, Overwatch players. That's cool. Also, I personally didn't like the hair on Spike for the Cowboy Bebop crossover, but
yeah, that one's kind of goofy.
But hey, it was still cool. Like,
Mauga's jet though looked really nice. Some people were kind of goofing on that.
Faye, I think, was the best with Bob as the ship. I think that was. Mm-hmm. Somewhere was dope too, I gotta say.
Although I will say the. Cassidy's gun looks really cool. The fact that it's Spike ship.
Yeah. Sorry, Cole Cassidy. Oh, my bad. Yes, his gun as the swordfish was really like swordfish, that was cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
But yeah, so it's just kind of cool. It's nice to see that either Overwatch, the team at Overwatch, is actually starting to do stuff that from what I can tell, the community is actually like interested in and like excited for.
Yeah.
Or they're getting they're being allowed to actually start working on things that they want to work on.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully this is I know like they've been slowly starting to climb back up, but hopefully this will start to steady the pace a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have games have a little comeback, you know.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, it's always fun to play those games with friends too, so...
Was there Did you mention another thing before we start with Day of the Devs?
Gundam Requiem. The high grades. And you put a little bit about Gundam Breaker in our Twitter chat, but
yeah. So they released, I guess, the first two models for the new Netflix show that's coming out. And Joel, I actually haven't heard much about how you think about it. How do you think the look of the?
I'm gonna tell you what I told you guys right before this. I don't know if you saw. I'm just gonna re-say it because I think I said it pretty well. For me, the Zaku, I think, is the coolest looking thing. I agree with you how you said it has like the two little horns. I like that shit too. I like the new shield design for it. It's cool. It's looking it's looking like a little carved into, but very like fresh. I like the shield. The Gundam for me though, looking a little bare bones, a little skeletal. I think I have to play with it a little to my liking. But yeah, I just said different enough for me to enjoy the Zaku 2 at least. The Gundam looking scrawny, I'm still gonna buy both, you know. The design is different enough to be unique. I just hope, you know, Netflix's track record, right, with their versions of stuff is, I'd say, now hit and miss. Not very great in the past, but I'm still excited to watch the show. But the Gundam, to me, something is, I think it's the lack of the shoulder pads is bothering me. It needs those fucking pauldrons. But I'm still going to, play with it and customize it and stuff. But, yeah.
So for people watching the video right now, you could see it. So audio people, I'm sorry. We'll try to give you explanations. So you can see here.
You're looking for the Gundam from Gundam Requiem.
Yeah, so it's a Gundam. It's Gundam EX.
Requiem for Vengeance. Sorry. Yeah.
So you can kind of see it's kind of, I was telling Ben this. It's interesting that they're going for like almost like the Gundam has muscles. It has like definition to it. It's not sleek like how the Barbados and the Ariel are, but like it has like this weird kind of like, you see the shoulders look like they're going to be like the muscles. I believe. Oh, I actually haven't seen the back look of this. Ooh.
Yeah, I was just looking at the back, actually. I like the new vernier thrusters, or the thrusters that help propel it up or down. And it has like a mounted kind of like machine square gun in the back.
Yeah. Mounted machine gun. It looks like it has three beam sabers.
Yeah, I can't wait. I was just thinking before we started, I can't wait for it. There's got to be an animation of all three coming up, and the Gundam grabs one. So I'm looking forward to that. But other than that, if you want to kind of know what my kind of like, how I like my Gundams looking, look up the Mud Rock. That's kind of my style. I like the way that Gundam looks. But
here's the Zaku.
The Zaku, though. That shit looks great.
Honestly. Ooh. I kind of like how the its jetpack kind of curves in more. And so like the thrusters are kind of hidden away.
Yeah.
Its shield does look really nice.
The shield is dope. I think there's a grenade in it.
Looks like it, or like mistaken. They look like cannons.
Oh, that'd be cool. Like it's like an early Gauss kind of.
Yeah, it has the muzzles in the barrel.
Yeah. So for what I for those who want the context, a Gauff is a mobile suit in Gundam. It's only meant for land combat, but one of the cool things was when it first appeared in the show is it doesn't like hold a gun. Well, there's some that do, but the main thing is it has like a gun built into its fingers and they're like fire like machine gun rounds at the Gundam.
Now the only thing I don't like about the Zaku is that it has two command horns on the side of its head.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's kind of throwing me off. Everything else about it, I kind of like.
I really like it. Looks like a radar.
Like the command horn's the only thing I'm being tripped up about, but that's small gripes.
But yeah. I will say I can't wait for people to do their own custom versions of this shit. Like when they custom paint and decal and stuff. Ooh, yeah. I can't wait. I already have some ideas. I totally forgot the other day. I was like rummaging through some shit as I do. And I found these little sensors to put on models. I don't know when I bought it, but I'm going to put it like this is like a high radar range fucking mobile suit. So I'm going to put that shit on some of these guys. Probably. I don't know. I don't remember when I bought it, but I was like, oh, this is sick. Future me is very happy about past me's choices.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to edit the shit out of some. But yeah, check those out if you like Gundam or building models or Gunpla.
Hell yeah, dude. Okay. I don't think, unless if you have any other small little news that you want to go over, I think it's time to actually get into our discussion about Day of the Devs. So let's go, man. So like I said before, for people that don't know what Day of the Devs are or is, it's this production that is put on by the people at Double Fine Studios as well as I Am 8-Bit. That's been going on for a few years now. And what it is that it officially it has become a nonprofit this year, but basically throughout the years, it has been a way for indie developers to come in, don't have to pay for their spot, don't have to do it like drop a dime, get to come in and basically show off the games they've been making, show off their concepts, show off the, you know, wherever they are in their build, they can come and show fans and people of the industry what they're making, and hopefully maybe get some backing if they need it. This year, fortunately enough, coincided with EDC, which is the Electronic EDC. Developers... Oh, EDC. What?
Never mind. I'm fucking you up. Never mind. I was thinking of something else. I was thinking the EDC, the rave. And then I said GDC.
So. Oh, wait. No, GDC. You're right. I'm sorry. That correction was actually justified. So, yeah, the GDC, the Game Developers Conference. Thank you, Joel. And so we got to go take a look at some really cool indie games. We have a list that we curated of games that we saw and games that we got our hands on. Let's see. There's really no particular order, so I guess Joel, how about you pick the first one that we talk about?
I'm just going to go down the list I have. I want to start with the first game we played was Death Guitar. It was a Metroidvania kind of side scroller. It was really cool. It's kind of in the corner. No one else was around. That's why I picked it. I was like, this looks interesting. It's called Death Guitar. Basically, when you take the controls, you become a movable guitar. And when there are enemies on the map, you do a sonic blast and it kills them. And there's things you platform a little. And what's cool, what I really liked is there was an amp platform. If you did your audio shock attack, it would bring you up. The amp would bring you up or down. And another cool thing was there's a mechanic where with the same amp, it would drop like a platform on an enemy. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it gave me so many, so much Katana Zero vibes, because it's literally going through a room and it's a one-hit kill scenario, and you have to figure out the optimal way to kind of kill all the enemies so you can unlock the door to get to the next room.
Yeah.
It's a really cool concept. I want to get the maker. Oh, I cannot read that because it is in Japanese.
The game was in Japanese as well while we were playing. I just wish there was a couple more things in English, but it was still pretty cool. I think, did my picture say the same thing? Toroya, my battery is fried.
Oh, okay.
I think that was
an interesting developer name.
Well,
that's cool.
Toroya, my battery is fried. Yeah. Another cool thing is, I think it was a passive select. I couldn't tell because it was in Japanese. But it's it would show different guitar pedals for different effects you could have. I picked the wah pedal. I don't know what it did, but it was pretty cool. Pretty fun to play.
Yeah, so right now it says that this game has a soft date of 2025. So hopefully within next year we'll hear more about it. Yeah, but this definitely is a really cool looking game. Okay, let's see. You know what, Joel? How about I choose the next one, and let's talk about Ultimate Godspeed.
Oh, dude. that was some fun shit.
This is developed by Ninoko, the studio. Hopefully I got that name right. So basically, this is a combination of Kart Racer and Ultimate Chicken Horse. And I kind of explained it to you, Joel. For people that don't know what Ultimate Chicken Horse is, it's a little indie platformer, like party game, where every round, every player gets to place an obstacle or a trap in the path of the goal to try to fuck other people up. And this is kind of the same concept I said with kart racing. So you start a race, and the first race is just normal playing on the track. And then every round, everybody gets to choose up to two traps or obstacles to put in the path of the track to try to mess other people up and get in to the goal. And it was really fun. Only me and Joel played it, but you can play it up to four players, which is cool. And they have a different variety of racers. Like, Joel was like this weird, like, leaf man on rollerblades.
Yeah, made of like ancient tubes and shit.
And I was like some like cyberpunk, like surfboarder kind of dude. But yeah, it was really cool.
I really enjoyed, there was a, literally a trap that was just a scythe, and it would kill you on hit.
Yes,
and I ran into my own scythe twice. And what's funny is at the end of the race, if you actually, it says self-destruct, you, there's like a point bar you get, you gain if you win, or even if you lose, but mine went down because I kept dying. So I thought that was a fun mechanic. Like, even if you get second, you can still get a lot of points. Or if you're first, you can keep your lead with your points.
Yeah. So you can kind of see here. Here we go. I can zoom in. So like you see there are all the different traps. There's like little platforms, speed boost. So actually, there was actually one moment where Joel, you put down a speed booster, it was going in reverse, and you actually pushed me into my own trap.
Yes, I did. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be smart. So,
yeah, so this is a really good like party game that you can kind of mess around. There's a bunch of different tracks too. We only played one race, so we didn't get to see all of the different tracks, but looks like a good silly game to try out. This one also doesn't have a announced release date yet, but there is a demo on Steam, so people on Steam can go check it out. Okay, Joel, how about you pick the next game we talk about?
Oh, there were so many good ones. I'm going to go with Bits and Bops. It's a fun
yes,
rhythm game. The only detriment to them, it's not their fault. They didn't have headphones and the TV wasn't loud. But we started watching this guy playing. But basically the rhythm game started with like this cat was taking a picture of a dolphin. And he had to time it when the dolphin was bouncing the ball. So that was pretty cool. We tried that. I did that. And then later there was one with you, like you hammer the nails in at the right timing. I could finally hear it later, but I was still doing bad. But what was cool though, as you get more successful, of course, it makes it more fun. They turn the screen upside down, they turn it sideways, they zoom in, there's a cat in the way. I was like, oh, that's super fun. That could be a very fun party game with friends or whatever. So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Brian?
Oh, I immediately fell in love with it just because I was telling you it so reminds me of the like the old Rhythm Heaven games. It looks very much inspired by Rhythm Heaven, like down to like the, you got the cute little animations with the quirky little funny bits during the mini games, and then like the end result is just like a black screen, and then depending how you do has like a little banner that pops up telling that you did amazing or whatnot. By the way, this is made by,
like, hella memories.
Yeah. This is made by Tempo Lab Games. Also doesn't have a release date yet, but also it does have a demo on Steam. So you can check that on Steam. But I think what I really enjoyed from this game is that how, like, besides like the fact that we couldn't hear the audio just because of the environment, once you got the timing down a little bit, it felt very reactive. Like, it didn't feel sluggish to me at all. And I think they had three games available. They had looks like a sea lion beach volleyball game. They had the hammer nail game, which you played.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, it looks like this is very inspired by Rhythm Heaven. So I'm assuming hopefully that it'll have a whole bunch of games to play within it. And it'll be a lot of fun. Another great party game. That's another thing. There was a lot of really good, like, actual, like, party games at this one, which is really nice because, I don't know, recently it hasn't felt like there's been a lot of, like, party games. Like, we got Party Animals last year, finally. But, like, other than that, you know, we've had how many Jackboxes we're up against. Which reminds me, Joel, if we're done with this, I actually want to see if you want to talk about Outdraw AI, speaking of party games.
That's fun. You want to go there next? I would love to talk about that one.
Yes, let's go.
Outdraw AI was pretty cool. That's another fun, like, party game. They had this one in the back outside. You could sit and touch a tablet or phone. Basically, it would give you a prompt on a tablet someone had, and they would draw something. And all of us were, like, guests on our phones, kind of like Jackbox in a way. And we would see if the AI could figure it out and if we would win or it would win. It did trick the AI when I did it. This guy drew, like, a weird scorpion, but I figured it out after. But the AI thought it was a centipede. So that was pretty cool. And I watched someone else do, like, they drew a cool little lighthouse. And, you know, the AI guessed it earlier before. So that was pretty cool and fun and just being able to jump in really quick and guess, and of course using your phone, right? That's a big allure and then a good thing, right? You can just play on your phone. They said it wasn't out yet, but of course to follow them. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
But what I like is that when the AI is making its guess, it actually tells you its confidence point, like percentage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so like when you were playing it, like the AI only had like a 20% confidence in its guess. Yeah, it's really cool. It definitely has that Jackbox vibe. Unfortunately, it doesn't have like a Steam page or anything, but if anybody just wants to go to outdraw.ai, they have a website that has more information as well as a mailing list so that when they launch, they'll let you know. And it's made by Tomo Kihara and Playful are the people that got that made this. So, hey.
Good nice. On them. That was a good one to talk about.
Let's see. Let's get back to the list here. I actually kind of want to talk about this one because this one we touched on a little bit. We actually got to talk to the dev a little bit. Let's talk about the Axis Unseen.
Oh yeah, that was one of the other first ones we played.
Yes. So this one was made by Just Perky Games. It's a one person developer. Let's see if I can get more information about this guy real quick. Nate Perkypile is a lone developer for this game, and Joel, since you played it first, how about we start with you about your experience with the Axis Unseen?
I was drawn to it because I saw that the main character already had a bow. And I was like, oh, cool. It's like, I want to play. I see the guy's bow. He's like, oh, you're in for it. He told me right away as I was putting the headphones on. I was like, you know, it's supposed to be a horror game with metal music. I was like, oh, dude, that's sick. And you emerge from this cave with energy of your bow. And then you're kind of exploring, and they're like giant, like skeletal monoliths in the background. It looks very pretty. Scenery's nice. And there was like something, like there's like an obelisk thing. I wasn't paying attention, and then I died. what happened was, it's like a game where you're a hunter fighting like these,
like mythical creatures. And like
yeah, like some
cryptids. Eldritch horrors, kind of.
Yeah, and you fight them with like your bow, and what's cool with your bow is you can actually shoot it like in another mode and it transports you arrow transposition for my Baldur's Gate 3 fans, So it has that. That was really cool. So like it, like Brian did it more than I did, but I saw him shoot the arrow, like that cool teleporting arrow to like a tree, and he was like right at the tree. But yeah, what I found out what killed me though was a Bigfoot. When I came back in, you go through like Bigfoot. A portal. There's a door. But yeah, it seemed really cool to handle. And what were your thoughts, Brian?
I thought it was very interesting. When I was playing through it the first time, I definitely started feeling like it was kind of akin to like the open world kind of exploring kind of thing at first, up until you start getting into the more weirder sections of the like just exploring around, finding the monoliths like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I think I went through the same portal as you did, Joel, but I ended up finding a whole different creature. I ended up fighting like this like werewolf lichen kind of dude. And
spikes coming out of it.
Yeah. Actually, here's a picture of it right here. It actually looks pretty sick. And it was funny because like I was trying to fight him and I had my arrows, and at some point I ran out of arrows. So I was just trying to like duck and weave out of the way. And then I found out I had a knife. So I was trying to like dodge and like stab him to death. And eventually I got the kill in. And I actually also stumbled upon the fact that there is a photo mode too. So you can actually take cool pictures.
It's perfect for this game, honestly, with the scenery and everything and how it's laid out.
So while you were playing, Joel, I was talking to the developer, Nate, a little bit about this game. He said he's been working on this game for about 3 years. And he was telling me that he pretty much has been developing almost this entire game in VR. And so he was telling me, like, he couldn't tell me how many hours he would be in VR, and he was actually whittling the bow and arrow that you're using in the game so it has all those natural grooves in it. So I thought that was super sick. Like, everything in here, in a weird way, has literally his touch on it, which is weird because he is the only developer, but like literally he's going in VR and actually like placing things around. And he was telling me how this art style is like a good mixture of kind of like fantasy, but also it looks really nice for being something that he's kind of just showing off for the first time. It's a really good looking game. Like, look at this. This is all just captured in game.
Yeah, that's a good still.
Like all the colors.
Oh, yeah, that huge skeleton. Yeah, that's what caught my eye the first time. We come up on the map. There's like huge, like Nordic skeletons. It was cool.
And like you see all like the more power ups you get, you could see like all these runes come up on your bow. And also the cool thing, as he told me, that not only are you tracking the enemies can track you. So if you're not careful, like enemies can be aware of your presence, like follow your footprints. And if you get injured, like they can get your scent and like chase after you. So it's like, it's really like hunter versus hunter in a sense. But yeah, it looked really cool.
Bigfoot killed me.
Bigfoot cool. You got these big tree creatures here. He said that he's hopefully planning on releasing it sometime this year. He didn't settle on a hard date yet because he wants to make sure that everything's gonna come out pretty good. So hopefully, we get to play this game really soon because it's really cool. And for being a horror game, it's actually a horror game that I would actually want to play too, because I'm not really a big horror guy. Like this one has like close enough.
Fun surprises later on that he left for us. I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Joel, how about you pick a? I'm all tongue tied this evening, dude. It's been a wild weekend.
Oh yeah, a lot of talking. I'm gonna go straight to something a little simpler, but I really enjoyed. It was just super fun. It was Mashable LED. It's real simple. Oh, it was just like a like a fight stick almost, but it's just the buttons, and literally it's connected to an LED strip, and you just hit it as fast as you can. You just light up the strip, and if you know, it'll do it like out of three times, and we just hit it away. It reminded me kind of like growing up, those like MASH games you would play at, like, I don't know, Discovery Zone or whatever, or the jungle. It was just like a fun throwback to something super simple, super like easy and still fun. So I just really enjoyed that.
No, yeah, it was really cool. And it's sad though, because there wasn't really any like signage of like who was making it. The person must have been like talking to somebody while we were doing it, but it was just this installation of just like a concept of just, you know, there was two like hitboxes, or, you know, two hitbox like controller pads, like you said, and it was just hooked up to some LEDs, and it was like a cool, like just a little arcadey kind of game. And that's what's really cool, because when you come to events like this, you think, oh, video games, but no, it's like gaming in general, and like the concept of everything. Oh man. I'm trying to remember, because there's outside, there's another really cool thing called Jet Cola.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to find the actual thing.
The name of the dev, I took a picture of it. Please
let me know, because I want to talk about this.
Tamakotronica. It's TAMAKOTRONICA. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing. Or Tamakotronica. Yeah, it was a really fun, simple game. I'll post a video later of Brian trying it out on our TikTok or something. Really simple concept. I'll let Brian tell you a little more after I'm done talking. But basically, you just shake something, and it measures how much you do it, and then it'll just like do a little like mini game showing you how far you went. It reminds me of those like strength test games, but instead you're shaking like this fake bottle and you're seeing how much, you know, energy or force you're generating, and then it'll display it on the screen.
Yeah, okay, I found it cool, because yeah, this is a really cool concept. Let me put it on the screen real quick for y'all. But yeah, like this I thought was actually really cool, because at the time when we played it, it was like, oh, it was a cool little game. And I didn't realize it was actually like for a business that was working with arcade, like doing arcade stuff. But yeah, it was really sick. I actually won a second prize. I got this cool keychain.
Yes, right, he did. There.
But yeah, it was cool. It was like people were lined up to try and play and get a high score. And, you know, it actually was cool because they actually had a screen on the side that actually had the, like, percentage, or, like, the, like, out of, like, 35, you were, like, this in the rankings. So it was, like, it made it kind of like a little competition. But yeah. Yeah, it was just really cool to see stuff like this. And I'm hoping that more arcade stuff like this, because arcades are kind of in a bad way. Like, sure, you got your Dave and Buster's and your round ones, but like arcades in general are kind of on the outs a little bit. So it's cool to see like this little company. Yeah. How about we
go next, Brian?
Let me see. Eeny, meeny, miny. We can talk about this one real quick. We played a fighting. So there was a couple fighting games there being played off. It was kind of a busy area, so we only got to play one. And we played this one called Two Strikes by Retro Reactor. And being published by Intato Publishing, is actually being, that's weird. It says its release date was 2021. So I'm guessing it's an early access. Okay. So it's an early access, fighting game. I believe they're going to be releasing soon, but it's a very simple fighting game. It's like a black and white, like samurai themed, But basically, it's legit. What it means is that you have to kill your enemy in two strikes. Mm-hmm. It was very simple, very cool. All the characters that were available all played very differently, which is very nice. But I just really love the style. Like, having the characters all black and white, but the backgrounds are colored.
Yep.
Really lets them pop. Ah, man. I'm sorry. For audio listeners, it's probably not even, like, really good, because, like, I'm just, like, watching this game and, like, just remembering how fun it was. But
if you're listening to us chat, I think Two Strikes is one of the three or four that you should definitely go and, like, look it up. Like, pause us, go check it out. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's, like, in the same vein as Dive Kick. It's meant to just be very quick fighting, but still fun. Because, like, you had your you still had your regulars, your heavies, you can block, parry even, maybe. But this art style is just fantastic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
These are, like, these are legit, just, like, could be desktop screensavers or, like, backgrounds.
Right?
Oh, yeah, here's, like,
this. The ones they chose are really good. They chose some good ones.
But this one is an early access. You can buy in the early access or also play the demo if you just want to try it for free, which is also really good. But yeah, Two Strikes. Try it out. Joel. Since this is here right below on my list, and you played it, do you want to tell us about Wild Bastards?
Wild Bastards was pretty interesting, just for what you do. I saw it in the corner. There's this, like, big group of friends being hella loud, as a big friend group is. Awesome for them. But I was just like, are they playing the game? Like, let's go check it out. It's interesting. Like, you get a group of outlaws on a ship. You choose them to go. They have, like, stats and stuff and weapons. And I was like, okay, is it kind of like an RPG, right? You go, send them, and they do it. Is it that kind of game? And then you go on the map, you choose where they go. They have, like, a limited amount of moves. And then what's cool is when you select the area you're supposed to go to or check out, you actually go into first person. You start shooting and be an outlaw. There's, like, this snake thing I was killing. There was, like, other, like, cowboy robots I was shooting. It was pretty cool. It's kind of Overwatch-esque. Like, you drop in, you know, different people have different powers. And in one instance, when one of my characters died, I could switch to the other one. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, I shot an explosive barrel, so it didn't end well for one of my characters. But just the aesthetic, it was like kind of cyberpunk, but Western. It was pretty cool. It caught my eye just looking at it. And then you said the name. I was like, oh, we got to check it out then.
Yeah, I just like how when you're in, like, the first-person shooter mode, it's like it's 2D, but also 3D. At the same time, it's given me, like, very much, like, the Borderlands-y kind of, like, look to it. Also, but, like, a little bit of Blood Dragon, too. Just, like, with all the neon colors. And
Blood Dragon.
Oh, I just noticed the... Because there's three characters that you chose. I think all the characters were available to play in the demo. But you chose three. There's the one, like, robot, like, card player.
Yeah, the gambler kind of guy.
When he shoots, his reticle is like a car, like it's fucking like a nine of spades or something like that. Nice. And then, like, the bursting effect is a bunch of, like, poker chips. That's really cool. That's a really interesting design.
I didn't even notice. Yeah, it's definitely unique, and I could actually say there was nothing like that there. I mean, all of the games were incredibly unique, I'd say. But yeah, that one for sure, I was like, ooh, this is really cool.
Yeah, and this is being developed by Blue Manchu and published by Maximum Entertainment. It says it's being planned to be released sometime this year. So hopefully we'll get a release this year and people can play it and try it. Yeah. Have a lot of fun. Let's see. Did that. Before we get, because I do have some games on here that we didn't get a chance to play. But before we get to that, I believe there's two more things that I want to talk about. This first one I thought was really, really cool. So we, after playing, what was it, Bits and Bops? We, right yeah. next to us, we had... Sorry, I am looking for...
It Goes Home?
Yeah, trying to figure out why it's not...
By Low Tech Games. Some of these games didn't say it, but some of these games did. It said San Francisco Edition, which I thought was interesting.
There we go.
And definitely Bib Goes Home was a San Francisco Edition, too.
So, yeah, so basically the concept for it, this is legit just a concept, but it's pretty much an interactive, like, projected game on a book or, like, paper. It's real. It was really cool. So, like, legit, just, it was a little tiny projector on, like, Lego blocks that projected on this paper. And you can kind of see, for people watching in this video, it's like a little book page. And, like, turn the page, and then there's, like, little interactive, like, doors that you can have your little character walk through. And what was really cool is that we were playing with the Nintendo Switch NES controller, so it made it really feel like it was like an old school kind of game. But like this blew my mind, like the idea of how back in the day we had like the Leapfrog books or like the interactive like storybooks. Like this is like the next like step. Like you could get a little booklet, turn on the little projector, and just start playing a storybook. Like in multiple dimensions. Let me see. I'm trying to see if there's a little rocket ship there. And he actually showed off to us this different game modes too, because they had like the asteroid shooter. So like you're in like a cockpit, but then it was projecting like space and you could like shoot around. I believe the. Yeah. Oh, and looks like there's like dev stuff you can download if you want to like mess around with it yourself, I guess. So if you want to go check it out, it's that is a long name. It's probably j.itch.io. So you can go check that out. Biv Goes Home. Really cool concept. I really hope they can go it, because I believe we were talking to Matt. I believe. So I'm sorry if I get it wrong. I think there's like a 4-person team. Yeah. But he was telling it that they tried to go to Penguin Random House, and they said that they really liked it but didn't know what to do with it. So it's like, oh man, somebody needs to grab this concept and like go for it, because it's just a cool idea and I don't want it to kind of go away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before I go back to that, the last thing that we were able to get our hands on, which I believe was my game of the show, was this really cool game called Night Shift Galaxy by Tiny Galactic Games. It is very early development. Maybe that a little early, but this was their first time showing it off to people. So there's not a lot to go off of. They're trying to find a publisher or an investor. But it's a really cool, like, think like Saturday morning cartoon mixed with, you know, Star Fox mixed with Robotech and like really cool music. Here we go. Here's some footage. But it's like this cool like space like combat flight shooter.
For those who can't see, we actually didn't see this one. This is really cool. They're like going through hyperspace, avoiding asteroids in like a transformable mech. That's actually really cool. We didn't see that one.
We talked to Andy, the kind of like the marketer and like the social media guy. Really cool dude. Again, this is like another like one person guy. Apparently, Andy just got hired on. So for a while, it was just, I believe it was Max was his name, the developer that's been working on this for a little while now. I'm sorry if I get names wrong again. I'm trying to process it was Max. Okay. It was a long weekend, trust me. It was a lot of cool stuff to try to get through. But you could see, like, here in this video, this has, like, the more Star Fox vibe. So it's like you're in, like, a ship. You have, like, more maneuverability. Shooting down, you got your missiles.
And it looks like an R-Wing, too.
It does, which is really sick. It's like, you could tell where the inspiration is coming from. But let me tell you, playing the game, we both played it. The game, for being the first ever demo, first ever like playable demo, it felt really good. Like it felt very snappy, very smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it had like really good sound effects, really good music. The gameplay was super fun. I want to get... Oh, here we go. So this is the guy that we were playing as. This little like, you know, robot that can turn into a jet, kind of like a Robotech, like Macross kind of guy. And he's like looking or flying around. You can, you know, transform midair, float around, shoot enemies. And it's just like a really cool, like chill game. It's like there's not like a heavy like story. It's basically you're playing as these pilots that are doing gigs to make money. And it just so happens that they're in like these mechs or these jets that have to shoot down, you know, pirate ships or whatnot, or like big enemies.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really love this game.
They showed us a... Oh, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead. I'll talk after.
I was just going to say, I was really sad that we had to stop playing and to know that we don't know when this game is coming out, because I wanted to play more of this.
He even showed us on his TikTok, their TikTok, that they were working on this concept where there's a tank firing on stuff and it shot onto a building and then it was stuck on the building firing there. I thought that was really cool. Like it like hook shot up and it was stationary. Like it could stay there on the building and fire down. So they're doing some really fun stuff with it.
So here's a video. It's with the spider robot, but this is pretty much the boss that we were fighting in the demo, this big pirate ship. Oh, yeah,
it's so cool. It's, like, hooking on.
But, like, you can look at that. It's, like, this cool grappling hook. And he just zooms onto, like, a surface. And he's just crawling around on the ship, destroying all these, like, you know, fusion cells. And, like, disarming, like, the pirate ship. It looks so cool.
Very cool.
But yeah, this is Night Shift Galactic. Night Shift, I keep getting this fucked up. It's Night Shift Galaxy by Tiny Galactic. Go follow them on social media.
Keep really cool.
If you love mech games, this is like the thing that should be published. I'm hoping it's some person at GEC is looking at this game and be like, we need to fucking publish this game.
Yeah. Inject some money in this bitch.
Fuck yes. Love it. Okay. So that is actually a lot of what we played at Day of the Devs. But Joel, I kind of wanted to
shout out one more. Can I
yes, talk about please. Go ahead. Okay, shout out as many games as you want.
There's another game I really like, but I didn't get to play it. But this one, Beauty Cult's Nectomancer. I really like side scrollers. And it's really cool. It was like a classic side scroller, but they like upscaled it. So it's like the environment, moving through the environment was so seamless and very visually, like, I don't know, like pretty. Like, I don't have the words for it. It was really cool. And just playing through it, you're like this guy with the sword, you're going through, you know, platforming and stuff. But what really got me was their music was really cool. It's like this lo-fi space jazz, you know, with the saxophone going. It reminded me of a lot of Cowboy Bebop. I don't know. The mood and the feel was just perfect. If you played it a certain way and beat the boss, you could get a hat. I didn't do it. I just wanted to play. But yeah, it was really cool. The hat seemed pretty cool too. But I got a pin and a sticker. But yeah, if you're big into side scroll, it just felt and looked really cool. And of course, like I was saying, the music was just on par. So I'm keeping an eye on them for sure. So yeah, again, Beauty Cult's Nectarmancer. So yeah, it was.
It's just like
Nectarmancer.
But just like for people that can't see this, it's like just looking at this like really good, like pixel art. It's that nice like combination of like the pixel art with like the 2.5D like HD stuff you've seen from like Octopath Traveler and stuff like that to a certain extent, but like it just looks so nice, like everything shining like ridiculous amounts. And then I didn't get to play it, but just watching Joel play, it just looked really nice. I do like the mechanic though of like you throwing seeds in the ground and like it props up like upgrades for you.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, that's the Beauty Cult's Nectarmancer.
Yeah.
By the Beauty Cult.
Yeah.
Coming some point. There's no release date. It's just it's coming soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So
what were you gonna say, Brian?
I just wanted to give a few other shout outs to games that we kind of looked at but didn't get to play. The first one I kind of got my eye on, but we didn't get a chance to play, was called Haste Broken World. It's this really cool, like high speed runner, where he's this cute little character, and you're like running through all these different like obstacle courses, with like natural like environment hazards, and it's like I'm just like looking at it, it's like man, it's like this is like the Sonic. Like speed running that I kind of wish was in more Sonic games, to be honest. Like just looking at how fast they're going, like the movement looks so flowy and so like smooth, that is kind of insane that this kind of game has it more than the Sonic game does. But yeah, it looks really pretty. It looks very simple. And it's made by Landfall Games, has no release date. Unfortunately, that's kind of funny. Similar to the games we played, and it's this Sonic Generation. So Steve even also agrees that it feels like a Sonic game, like a good high speed runner. So Haste Broken Worlds was a little shout out. We were talking about how the fighting game area was very crowded. There was also another fighting game that caught my eye called Combo Devils. By Punkzilla. Is a like Smash Brothers like platform fighter that has a whole bunch of these cute little, I don't say cute, some of them are cute, like characters. I think this one had like the biggest crowd surrounding it, waiting to play. It's like a 4-player platform fighter. Looks really cool. Looks very interesting. It's definitely going to have a hard time competing because Smash Brothers has just such a high bar. But just like looking at the gameplay of this, it kind of has like reminiscence of, you know, a little bit of Smash Brothers, a little bit of Multiverses. And I believe looking at this a little bit earlier, it also has a kind of co-op like roguelite mode. So, like, you can, like, do, like, a dungeon run, get upgrades, and, like, fight bosses. Oh, this guy looks like the Shredder. Looks like an ice,
like Wolverine. Like
ice Shredder. But, yeah, so it's cool because it's, you know, a lot of people can probably assume that they can say it's trying to be, like, a Smash Brothers. But it looks like it's going for, like, the platform fighter. But also it's going to have a lot of cool, fun, like, game modes. Like, look at that.
Like a target practice mode and a... That's cool.
Exactly. So it looks really cool. Just wanted to give a little shout out. Of course, no release date. A lot of these games don't have a release date, but like something that I've been hearing a lot and being told, and it's very true. Even if the game's not coming out for a while or you don't really plan on buying it right away, wishlist it. Because wishlisting games on Steam is the biggest way to have Steam know that these games are important enough to kind of put on like the main page. So if there's any games that you see on here that have seemed interesting to you, go wishlist it. It will help the developer so, so much. Mm-hmm. This one we watched for a little bit, Joel. Yellow Taxi Goes Room.
Oh, yeah.
by Panic Arcade and publishers Those Awesome Guys. It, for what they state, is make full use of an advanced moveset to navigate handcrafted retro worlds without a jump button in a vibrant love letter to the N64 era, which it really does. And literally, it's like Crazy Taxi, but like you have all these odd jobs. Yeah, you just have to get around the N64 like world in a little toy car. And it's just a goofy fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's that's Yellow Taxi Goes Room.
It definitely reminds me of like PS1 and 64 era games. And they like lean into that aesthetic for sure.
This one I didn't actually know was there, but I kind of regret not noticing it before. Pepper Grinder by Arch Games, our developer, and being published by Devolver. So if anybody knows, Devolver Digital has been kind of knocking out of the park with publishing games that seems like everybody really enjoys. But it's
pretty fun.
You play this person that just has this, like, you know, this kind of drill grinder, and it's literally you're going through levels, like grinding through, you know, terrain, getting upgrades, fighting off bad guys.
Like Dig Dug on steroids.
Kind of, actually, yeah. But yeah, it's just a wild looking time, you know, digging away, going through levels, fighting big bosses. That's Pepper Grinder.
It looks fun.
And it's actually coming out really soon. It's coming out March 28th. So,
oh, dang.
And there's also a demo on Steam, so you can go try it out right now.
Looks fun.
There's another Devolver Digital published game there. I'm trying to see if it's on the list. I thought I had it on the list, but Angerfoot, I believe was the name. Yep, Angerfoot is the big Devolver Digital game that's coming out that a lot of people are waiting for, being developed by Free Lives. It's like a first person Hotline Miami type of game where you're literally just a guy going through like bases of gangs, kicking people in the face, kicking down doors, shooting guns.
This looks like fun. I didn't see this at all. Where was this?
It was like in the back. Where
I think I remember. I remember now. There was a long line for this game.
There was a long line. But yeah, it looks really fun.
Yeah, it looks hella fun.
And what I didn't know, it was made by the same team that made Broforce, if you remember that game.
Oh, nice.
So it definitely has that energy.
yeah, I definitely can see that.
Let's see. Oh, so I think you remember, might have seen this one, Joel, Slime Heroes. By Pancake Games, B- being published by...
Oh, we did see it there. Yeah, yeah.
Whitethorn Games. This is a game I regret not trying because the idea of this game looks really fucking cool. So, I'll explain this to you, Joel. So, it's a kind of like action-adventure kind of game where you get to play a slime. And what's cool is that you actually get to custom make your slime. So, you get to, you know, design how it looks and whatnot. And so, you're going through this world that's being... kind of plagued by this weird kind of, you know, toxin kind of slime thing. And so basically the whole gameplay mechanic is you're going through this world kind of like a Souls-like in a sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I really like is that you pretty much kind of a la Kirby 64... You beat enemies and you kind of steal their powers, but then you can also mix and match powers to create new powers. So there's a whole bunch of customization as far as combat wise is concerned. And of course there's a bunch of bosses that you'll be able to fight. And it just looks like a really cool little game and you get to be a little slime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a cute little slime.
We hella walk by this. We're like, it's probably fun.
Yeah, I super regret it now. But yeah, this is not
the game I thought it was.
Slime, exactly. Not like the little bit we saw, like it did not look like this. So
I was like, oh, this looks like a fun family game.
Yeah, I mean, it still can be. It'd be a nice intro to Souls-like games for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, this is Slime Heroes. Let's see. I'm trying to remember what else was there. I feel like a lot of things are like somehow like disappearing from my list for some reason. I don't know why.
While you're looking, I just as long as we're talking about games we didn't play, I really liked watching there's this game called Cryptical Path. It's kind of like another like dungeon crawler side scroller, but what was cool was if you went through certain areas, like you have the map and you unlock it as you go, or you could take certain paths and unlock it along the way, which I thought was interesting. And you could choose what buffs. Like he has almost like a D20 or D12 as a weapon, this character.
Yeah,
and then and he's like an artificer or of some sort, I think. Taking back his castle, but yeah, you like it's like a side scroller, choose your own path. It was pretty cool to watch, and the aesthetic I really liked, and the character design was pretty cool. But yeah, I see right here, for those who can't see, basically it's like this horned kind of artificer using powers to like get through the side scroller area. And yeah, one of them was the powers we saw where it just says doubles his power. Actually, like he would throw out the dice, but when the person got the upgrade, he would throw it out, and then there would be a second one behind him. So that was pretty cool to watch. That was pretty fun. That was by, what group was this called?
The group was called...
Old School Games.
Old School Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think it's interesting because it looks like a Metroidvania, but it also has like a little bit of like dungeon crawly. Like not so much roguelike features, but like it looked like you could actually like set the path that you want to take through the whole castle and stuff like that. So that's a really interesting concept. Also, there's a demo for it. You can play the demo right now. And I think as far as there's actually one more I wanted to talk about before we kind of wrap things up here. Breeze in the Clouds, a very cute beat 'em up game, really, really cute animation. You play a little corgi that goes into this like sky world.
Where I did see that.
All like pretty much the villain animals somehow control bits of the weather. And so Breeze the corgi is trying to go beat down like these gangs and try to like, you know, save the day. But it's like just the animation alone looks so adorable and it looks so good. And also I love that for being a beat 'em up game, you actually can do like combos.
Yeah.
So it feels a little bit kind of like a fighter game in a sense. Like, I know it's like they're like beat 'em ups and fighting games are kind of similar, but
Yeah.
It just looks really cute.
Be the storm in canine form. That tagline alone. Canine form. Zubaz special DLC.
Oh, and it looks like you also have little assists too. You save little animal friends that can come out like as an assist. That's really cool. But yeah, that's a breeze in the clouds. That's just one other thing I wanted to kind of bring up before we kind of wrap it up here. And of course, there were so many other games that we didn't even see. So if you want, on Steam, there is a whole section for Day of the Devs that you can go and look at all the games that were shown off this past weekend, as well as all the other things that are coming up for the GDC week. So go check out the games. Go support indie devs, because indie devs are making so many cool things, and no one's going to know about them unless if you spread the word and go wishlist their games and go support them. Because, like, God damn it, I want to play Night Shift Galaxy so bad. I've been thinking about it all past 2 days, dude. I can't fucking handle myself.
It's a mecha game we need.
It's a mecha game indeed that we need.
Yes.
All right. With that, I think that'll kind of wrap it up for our Day of the Devs, I guess, review. You can kind of say it sounds weird to say review because we're not giving a score.
Experience.
There you go. Our Day of the Devs experience.
That's why I mean words.
There we go. You know exactly the words that I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that is this Saturday at 1. Get fucking tundra stormed, bitch.
Oh,
what? I get one off. I don't care. Just a reminder, this Saturday, or if you're watching this in the future, we have done another contest for the United We Nerd Nerdy Weight Championship. We're doing Street Fighter 6 at 1 p.m. on Saturday, the
23rd.
The 23rd. So I'm going to bring some heat with Street Fighter. Hopefully, we'll see. Brian's been talking up that I'm no match, but that's okay. Like I said, in May, we'll just take it to the Crucible so I can finally have that belt. Either way, it'll be a lot of fun. I have been like practicing a little with my wife. We're just having fun goofing off. So I'm going to bring some fun tricks. And of course, bring the hype just because I love the game. It's a great fighting game. I'm still blown away how much I love it. And of course, you know, once Street Fighter is done, I know these two lads, they're going to make me go into unknown territory. So I'm going to enjoy Street Fighter while I can. So again, whether you're watching this now or in the future, Street Fighter 6 throwdown competition for the belt.
We're going to throw down, baby.
Oh, yeah. Got the head on classic, baby. Never even used them on modern. We'll see. I have no idea.
We'll see if Joel can handle the Kenspiracy.
It's going to be a weird bunch of random choices and Ken. Or it's going to be a lot of Kens. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be some weird-ass matchups, and I'm here for it, honestly. Here for it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Hell yeah.
Make sure come hang out with us here on twitch.tv/UnitedWeNerd at 1 p.m. Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you will see, hopefully, me retain my World Nerdy Weight Championship because it looks so good. Hanging
Remember
up
what
right
happened to
there.
The king last championship? He fell.
He fell.
We'll see if this king falls.
Into a searchlight. died.
I still can't believe that shit happened. He should be fucking dead. But the match still went on. Oh, man. Good shit.
Just happens that way, man. It just happens. All right, everybody. Fuck. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch you next time on this podcast that we do called United We Nerd. So,
yes, sir.
Until next time, keep on nerding.
Keep on nerding.